happened to the War of the Worlds stand?
What?
What happened to the War of the Worlds stand?
I don't know. What do you mean?
It used to be underneath that, you know?
Oh, that one.
I don't know.
It just disappeared. Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankara Vavahai Tejasvina Vahitamastu Vishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thus, in accordance with scriptural injunctions, the prime duties of a Madhyamadikari, Shuddha Bhakta, are to cultivate love for the Supreme Lord, friendship with pure devotees of the Lord, compassion for the innocent, and aloofness from the envious. The degree of friendship that the Madhyam Adhikari establishes with other bhaktas of this level should correspond to the level of their devotion. Right? So it means, in other words, how much like respect, how much service is rendered is according to their level of devotion, their level of... But in any case, all devotees are special, so they're all dealt with properly. But if someone's more advanced, then they're given more service or more respect. Does that make sense? Right. So we see in here is that because here the definition is being by their degree of understanding, how they can appreciate devotees, how they, their faith, right? So by this definition, anybody with faith is automatically a Madhyamadikari, right? So if they're functioning on that pure devotional platform, they're a Madhyamadikari, right? Now, in case of Kashimisha, he was classified as a Kanishta Adhikari because the context was that of knowledge, right? Scriptural knowledge and the ability to present it. Does that make sense? Means he was there and the in Varanasi, right? So Varanasi, if you're going to take anything as a context, it will be knowledge, right? It means that's what they do, right? They sit around there and they talk Sanskrit and debate in Sanskrit all day, right? So therefore, he was unable to present the scriptures to defeat them, right? So in that way, he was categorized as a Kanishta Adhikari. But as far as faith and all that, means categorizing him as a Madhyam Adhikari would kind of be, you know, just not even really appropriate, seeing that he's one of the Lord's eternal associates. But the point, he was playing that part that he doesn't know Shastra so much, right? So then Lord Chaitanya would come and he would take care of that. Yes.
So we can say that there are different criteria how we judge the devotees.
Yes, means their chanting, their faith, and their knowledge. These are generally the three that you take. Right, yeah.
Is there a risk that we become judgmental?
There's a risk we become judgmental.
Categories.
Oh, well, the point is first put yourself in a category.
Okay.
If you can't do that, then don't bother with anybody else. Right? If you can't figure out who you are, then you can't figure out who anyone else is. Right? In other words, if you don't, just like, you know, in this, if you can't figure out where you stand in Kanishta Madhyam Uttama, then don't even bother trying to place anybody else. You know, and if you want to be safe, respect everybody else. Right, that's the safe, right? Rather than the, you know, on the street thing of, you know, don't respect anybody, and that way you'll be safe,
yeah.
Right? You know, yeah. So it's. Does that make sense? So then you judge according to these three. Generally they go together, right? According to the faith is according to the chanting, is according to the amount of scriptural understanding. But you do find situations where they don't go together, right? So then you have to see what you're dealing with. So maybe when it comes to certain things with scriptures or presentations and all that, then one person who may be devotionally advanced, he may not be the one who will make the presentation, right? But when it comes to any other activity within the devotional process, then they may be more prominent. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of seeing, but generally they go together. Similarly, the degree of compassion he bestows upon the ignorant will depend upon the sincerity and state of knowledge of that innocent person, right? Because here now we've defined the madhyama as standard. I mean, someone who's nicely situated in devotional service. So someone who's new, not so well situated, or someone who hasn't come in contact with Krishna consciousness, or just minimally, that's all categorized as innocent. Right? So someone who's still functioning on the platform of bhakti sukriti, and someone who's actually has shraddha and has taken up the bhakti. But if their understanding, their knowledge is less, so that degree, then that degree of more interaction, state of degree of compassion. So let's say a more advanced neophyte will get more attention than someone who's not, hasn't taken that step of shraddha and taken up the process. Right? Does that make sense? Someone who's more interested or more favorable will be more than just someone who's kind of like occasionally. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that when you're with them you're not applying full attention. It means who, if you have a choice, who you're going to give the attention to, right? Since time's short, right? So those who are responding more are given more attention, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Service attitude. Means, but service attitude in connection to what? But that was in the previous one. The degree of friendship that the Madhyam Bhakti establishes with other Bhaktas of this level should correspond to the level of their devotion. Okay. Service to the Vaishnava should be in accordance with the respective levels of advancement. This is page 34, bottom. The word Maitri encompasses association, discussion, and service. Right? So friendship means these three. Friendship means you associate, you discuss with them, and you render service. Right? So that means if they're a friend, that's what you do. Right? One sees a Shuddha Bhakta must greet him and offer respects immediately, give full hospitality affectionately, discuss Krishna conscious topics with him, and care for all his needs. One should serve him properly in all these ways. Okay? So it's part of friendship. Right? So another service isn't separate from friendship. Friendship means you're rendering service. Right? And serving the Lord means you're rendering service. Right? And showing compassion, then that preaching, that kind of element, that service. So that personal service, then we'll see that specifically amongst the devotees and to the deities. Like that? Does that make sense? Others than basically your teaching, preaching. Is that right? In the same way, so just as the degree of compassion is upon that sincerity and state of knowledge, right? So the sincerity is great, the knowledge is great, both of them are, whichever, then more time or more effort is there, right? And so in the same way, just reverse that for the envious, right? In the same way, avoidance of association with envious persons is also in accordance with the degree of their envy. The greater the envy, right? The greater we don't associate, right? We associate. The envy is more we associate. No. Because one might say, no, but the one who has less has this, we should give more time to. Sounds really good, right? Rolls off the tongue, sounds nice. Everyone will stand up, you know, brandish this thing, get out, you know, whatever, their pitchforks and, you know, all the kind of stuff like that. But in reality, people only spend their time where they see results are, right? Why is it when you say, no, but we should spend more time with those who are more sincere and has more knowledge, and you'll give less to those who are there? Only because you only have so much time in a day, right? If there's 108 hours in a day, then you could spread it around as you like, but since there's not, right? So then, but why does the person respond so strongly to that? No, but you have to, you know, what about the, you know, the he has to get, why? Because they see profit there. Why react there unless you see profit? Your profit is, it's something you can get your bile moving and get, you know, hey, we have an issue here. We have something to do, you know, like that. Life is not, you know, boring and meaningless after all, right? We have an issue, right? Pranamoy needs an issue. Does that make sense? So that's their profit because they see, here's that. Why don't you get into something else like the rug's dirty? Why isn't it being cleaned? Why not? No, this is not clean. This is Vaishnav. You know, we're supposed to be clean. We're supposed to have everything that... No, that's not... Because how much profit you get out of it? Everyone goes, okay, so clean the rug. War is over. Your issue's done. No, but this other one, you can go on. You can go onto the internet. You can do this and that. You can start conferences. You can do this whole thing. Right? You can keep it going until something else comes up. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because that means that's the rule, that you keep an issue going until another issue that's more tasty comes up. That's all. It's not you don't see the issue still going. It just stops. Yeah. Why? Because it's just a matter of what is the freshest, most expiring issue. That's all. It's not a matter of solving anything. It's just something to talk about. Right? Because by talking, they think something gets done. If I do 6 hours on the internet and like this and push a lot of send buttons, then I've really done something serious. No, you've done nothing. You've wasted 6 hours. Right? Because nothing's going to happen. No one's going to do anything because everybody is thinking that if I simply talk about it, it'll happen. But the idea of by training, by association, you know, by practice oneself, this is what's going to make it happen. But that's not what's used.
Sounds boring.
It's boring because then you have to do something. It's a conclusion.
Yeah.
So conclusion means you have to do something, right? And modern means no conclusion because then you have to do something, right? Okay. The Madhyamadikari Shuddhabhakta. So in other words, if they're slightly envious, but there's slightly some inquisitiveness, means you could spend a little time as long as the envy doesn't come up. And you avoid those areas where the envy is going to come up. If it's just by contacting them, it's just going to be envious, you just don't bother. Right? But what did it say before? It said that you don't bother on the spiritual platform. On the social platform, you interact whatever's the appropriateness for the situation. You bump into them, you're pleasant, you're nice, you know, Haribo or whatever it is. It's just you deal nicely, right? Does that make sense? You meet them every day at work, or every day you sit with them on the subway, or something like that. So you just talk regular things, you know, about the weather, or, you know, train's a little slow today, or, you know, what did you think about Sandy? You know, something like that. This is what you talk about, right? Does that make sense? You don't talk about spiritual, but if there's interest or sincerity or that, then you can talk about spiritual. So the point is you're nice to everybody, but only those who have some actual interest, you talk about spiritual. Does that make sense? Rather than, you know, if they don't want to talk about spiritual, you don't even look at them. That's, you know, the normal culture that we follow, which is good for avoiding bad association, but, you know, it doesn't work out so well socially. Right? The Madhyama Adhikari Shuddha Bhakta, right? Notice how he said Madhyama Adhikari Shuddha Bhakta, he puts that all together, right? Just to make sure that you know, right? You know? Because if you say Shuddha Bhakta, oh, you mean the Uttamadhikari. If you say the Madhyamadhikari, you mean that Shmo. No, the Madhyamadhikari Shuddha Bhakta. Oh, okay, yeah. Must carefully consider all these points and then conduct his spiritual life accordingly. So he should contemplate these, see that he's using it properly. Is he properly worshipping the Lord? Is he properly serving the Vaishnavas? Is he properly giving that compassion? Is he properly avoiding bad association? So you must always be seeing that it's going nicely. Yes.
Properly means with proper attitude in the mind, or action should be done properly?
It means, does it have to be one or the other? It's either in the mind or it's... means, in other words, it's in the mind and it's done perfectly, but we never actually apply it, or we apply it and never even think about what we're doing.
I thought, for example, if I would done action...
The fun part is he didn't even catch what I was saying. Right? You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's both.
Okay.
Because how do you do something without contemplating it? You know what I'm saying? If you're doing something without thinking, it won't come out so good. And if you only think and don't do it, then what's the use? So it's both. You have to think and you have to do. So the idea is you're thinking about what you're going to do. Right? And what you're thinking about is based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It's always based on authority. Right? So that's the point. Is what's there in authority, that's what you contemplate, try to understand it, and then apply it. Right? Because when you're applying it means all the elements are seen. Right?
Yes.
You see everything. You see the situation. You see what you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? You see it all. But you see the Shastra, it gives a point. So maybe it becomes clear immediately, or maybe not. So what's not clear, then the situation, what should be done, or the reasons, and then you try to put it together. Because the situation is there, the what you should do is there, or the reasons are there. You know what I'm saying? So you have to fill in the third one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to contemplate that to see how that works. Because that's meaning applying it to your situation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Simultaneously, his social behavior should be conducted with simplicity and faithful obedience to these guidelines. Right, so he keeps his lifestyle simple. Simple doesn't mean simple tongue. Simple means it's direct, straightforward. Right? It's clear why you're doing things. Complicated means you have so many things you don't know quite what, and you know what is more important, and all this and that. That's complicated. It requires too many facilities and more dependence on other things or other people. Simple just means it's very clear, this is what's done, this is what you do, it's nice. So it can be very sophisticated, it can be very unsophisticated, it doesn't matter. You know, or let's say lacking sophistication. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, because we generally take simplicity means it's not the activity's not direct. You know, it's like this drain out here. You walk in, there's a drain. You know, there's a yaksha holding up a dragon. Okay? Now, one could say that's not simple. It's very simple. The water goes in one side and goes out the other, and the top's open, so it never gets clogged. It can't get simpler than that. That's the simplest drain you can make. Right? It means if you go back in time, all over Europe, all over the world, that's how drains were. Right? In Europe, they call them gargoyles. Right? At least in English, I don't know what they call them in other languages, but you know, generally they don't, you know, they put funnier faces on them and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You can't get simpler than that. The water goes in one end, out the other, and it's open so it can't get clogged. And if it does, you just put a stick in there or something and it's done. You don't need to call in, you know, some fancy guy and, you know, with all kinds of machinery. That's simple. Now, it's sophisticated. Because it's not just, you know, a long thing, but it's got some designs on it. You know what I'm saying? So it's simple, but sophisticated. But you see, some of the other ones, they're simple and they're simple. Right? There's nothing on it, right? It's just, you know, three sides and the water comes out. Does that make sense? So simple means it's direct. It doesn't depend upon other things, right? You can fix it yourself. You can do with it yourself. Complicated means you need to do, someone else needs to do this, it goes off, you have to contact, like you have a lamp, right? It goes out, you pour oil in it, you take some cotton, make a wick, put it in there, light it. That's simple, right? Maybe nice brass lamp, ornamented, you know, this and that, so many things. You think, oh, it's so much simple to just go flick the switch, the light goes on. No, that's complicated. Why? Because if you flick the switch and the light doesn't go on, there's nothing you can do about it. Right? You can maybe go change the light bulb. Right? But then you have to have this whole light bulb. It's not just some cotton that you then roll and then some oil that you put in there. That's complicated. And then if the light bulb, changing the light bulb doesn't work, then you got problems. Then it's the fuse, or it's the electrical line, or it's the generator, or you're not connected, or the transformer blew out, or, you know, something went wrong over there, and in Japan the thing blew up, and, you know, now there's a, you know, world disaster, and that's why you don't have any electricity, right? Because your, you know, how you say, your nuclear generator just exploded. You know, so not having electricity is your smallest problem right now. You understand? That is complicated. Right? So we have this idea is that easy is simple, right? No, but easy meaning you can take care of it, it's direct, it's straightforward, that's simple. The other is it's complicated. It's convenient, but it's complicated. Does that make sense? Okay. Simultaneous and social behavior should be conducted with simplicity and faithful obedience to these guidelines, and always with consideration of the ultimate supreme goal, or ultimate spiritual goal, excuse me. Right? So he's faithful to these. That means this is what is there. It means you only have to consider four things: how you deal with the Lord, how you deal with the devotees, how you deal with the innocent, how you avoid those who are, you know, none of those three. Right? You know, everybody else. Yeah. Okay. Footnote. In the commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46, it is stated, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although a second-class devotee is eager to preach to the innocent conditioned souls, he should avoid the atheistic class of men so he will not become disturbed or polluted by their association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has confirmed that a Vaishnava should be indifferent to those who are envious of the Supreme Lord. Again, he uses the term indifferent. That means you deal nice socially, but you don't deal on the spiritual platform. So that's the difference. A Vaishnava should be indifferent to those who are envious of the Supreme Lord. It is practically seen that when such persons are informed of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they attempt to ridicule the Supreme Lord, thus further deteriorating their polluted existence, right? Means if there's nothing to grab onto, you can't do anything with it. But you explain something about God, then they have something to play with. Right? So it's not, well, if I explain it to them, no, it's a matter of they have to have qualifications first. It's too delicate, right? Just like, okay, the child is there, you know, how you say, the father, he's a diamond merchant, right? You know, they're situated right there in Rotterdam. You know, they're doing well. Okay, you know, and his little kid's coming along and wanted to know what he's doing, and he's got all these, you know, nice big diamonds there. He doesn't hand one to the kid, right? You know, not that, you know, he shouldn't be on the platform, they can deal with that, but at 3 years old, he may not really appreciate what the diamond is, right? So, you know, this 5-carat diamond there that, you know, is worth, you know, quite a bit. Like that, the kid may take it and drop it or throw it or do anything like that, lose it, you know, goes into the, you know, the, what do you call the heating thing? Yeah. You know, down there. That diamond's worth more than the whole house, right? You know, so, you know, so you just don't do it. So in the same way as the atheist, you don't give him anything, even though it's actually what one's supposed to have, one's supposed to discuss, you don't give it. Because they'll take it and they'll mess around with it in some way. So that's why the atheist is, you don't talk spiritual. But they're a person, so you can be nice to them. Right? But since the only ones you're really close with, means friendship is with those that you can discuss philosophy with. So therefore you don't get too close. It's just socially proper. You know, just like everybody else. You're only just socially nice. Yeah.
So if sometimes it's unavoidable, social like relatives to some...
Yeah, yeah.
Friends of the friends, whatever. Yeah. And they see you, they know you're Hare Krishna, and then they start themselves, you know, probing you from this side, from that side. So
that's because they have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
So bring up something else. This, in other words, before you go visit them, check the news. See what's happening. Know what's going on. And as soon as they bring that up, you say, "Oh, did you, what about this? What do you think?" You know, and then get into some social issue, right? You know, because point is politics, money, you know, any of these things that they catch attention. They can talk all day. So, religion is something they only do because they see an opportunity to harass you. So the point means if you make an alliance that you're harassing someone else, then you know what I'm saying? You know, then it works. So that's called the deflect. You know, and you know, it goes to you, you say, whatever. Yeah, like that. Let's just try that. Yeah. Okay. And generally people like that who do that, they have houses that aren't so small, right? So there's more ways you can get around the house. There's a couple of ways into the kitchen. So as soon as you see, you just go around the other entrance, you know, just in case that one doesn't work. Right? In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoted from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:20-36. Sometimes in the autumn, the water falls down from the tops of the hills to supply clean water, and sometimes the water stops. Similarly, sometimes great saintly persons distribute clear knowledge, and sometimes they are silent. Right? So in other words, if the time is right, then it's there, and if sometimes it's not. So it says in the autumn, the water falls down from the because that means it's available. The situation is right. And so when water stops means it's not raining. It's not these things. So it's not happening. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned that although the first class devotee of the Lord may at times exhibit apparent hatred towards the demons because of entering the mood of the Lord's pastimes, the intermediate devotee should avoid such feelings. Furthermore, the intermediate devotee should not in any way associate with the powerful atheistic class of men, because there's danger that his mind will become bewildered by such association. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if a Vaishnava preacher encounters one who is envious of him, the preacher should remain far away from such an envious person. But the Vaishnava preacher may meditate upon ways to save the envious class of men. Such meditation is called sadachar, or saintly behavior. Right, because you figure out how you do a big festival, you do different things like that, and they get benefits. You know, they hear, they may take prasad, this and that. Because generally speaking, much of the time, unless they're really envious, much of the time these, you know, ones that like to, you know, relatives or friends that love to harass like that, they love prasad generally. You know, so the thing is just change the subject and hand them some prasad. You know, and then at least they get benefit there. No? Yeah, in other words, you know, when you go to the house, show up with a few boxes of already offered sesame challah. You know they're going to eat it. You know. Okay. So, in other words, because the Lord, the Uttamadhikari, may, because of the pastimes, exhibit some bad feelings towards the demon, because the mood is bad towards the Lord, and the Lord is taking on that mood to reciprocate, right? As you surrender, he reciprocates. So you see him as enemy, he deals with you as enemy. So then they may take that side. But these are, you know, the Uttamadhikaris. The Madhyama, he just avoids. Right? So you may think of ways that they can be engaged, but not think about the you know, the bad qualities like that. That's never useful. Right, because the other one, he's thinking of it not in connection separately from the Lord. He's thinking from the Lord's side, so the Lord in that connection. So it's connected. But if you simply think that's bad, they shouldn't be doing like that, that's not nice, why they do that, then you're only contemplating the bad qualities. Yeah. It won't be beneficial. Mm-hmm. Although a Vaishnava preacher constantly meditates on the welfare of all living entities, he will not associate with those who are unreceptive to the message of the Supreme Lord. Means later they will be, but this point in time they're not. You know, so why waste your time? There's so many living entities who are willing. Give your time there. And the other person in the future will be, because every living entity is going to go back to Godhead, means at some point they have to be favorable. But this is not the point for that particular individual. Right? In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that even Bharat Maharaj, Vyasadeva, and Sukadeva Goswami did not exhibit their mercy indiscriminately. Right? Means Bharat Maharaj, means, was he hanging out with the other deers? No. So then he wasn't indiscriminately. Yes.
Can we say that he put them on the Madhyam Bhakram? Or they act as Madhyams?
Means everybody acts as Madhyams if they're involved socially. But didn't he at some point interact socially? Yeah, so when he's wandering around as a madman, then he doesn't worry about all this stuff. Because he was surrounded by everybody. It means half of who was hanging out with him, you know, thought, you know, he was nice, and the other half thought he was crazy. You know, or the other half might have thought he was crazy, but at least he was cute crazy. You know, and the other guy just thought he was crazy. Right? So he was not discriminating. But when he comes into the assembly of the sages, then he discriminates. Right? So in other words, to interact, you have to discriminate. And when you discriminate, this is the categories they use. Does that make sense?
So discrimination is the quality of Madhyam.
Yes, that's quality of Madhyam. So that means if, even if one is a neophyte, if one's preaching, one uses the Madhyama, you know, how you say, template to define things. And if one's an Uttama, when he preaches, he uses the Madhyama. So the Madhyama is the standard platform of social interaction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given an elaborate explanation to prove that the discrimination employed by a Madhyamadikari preacher does not at all show a lack of mercy, because some will say this. Mm. No, but we have to, you know, this and that. Much of the time it's either just critical or their own attachment to that particular person or group of persons or situations. He states that upeksha, or neglect, as mentioned in this verse, is the proper medicine for those who are inimical to the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Indifference from the preacher checks feelings of hostility on both sides. Because if you're indifferent, you can't, how do you act? You can't react to indifference. Right? Someone's, you know, upset with you, you can respond with that. Someone's nice, you can be nice. Or they're nice, you can be nasty. But if you're indifferent, you can't do anything with it. Right? So it's the standard way of dealing when you're correcting something like that. Does that make sense? And anybody who's ever been a little bit aware in a household situation, indifference is the main technique used for the domesticatory process. Yeah.
Just halts it. You can't go any further.
You can't do anything with it. It doesn't mean you're nasty. It just means it's indifferent. It means spiritually you're indifferent. It doesn't mean they bring up something. You don't talk about it. You change the subject, this and that. You know, you have to go somewhere. There's so many important things to do. You know, like that. Yes.
What's the point where you go to bring up a spiritual topic?
So there's interest.
So you know, you go to the level of interest, because you don't know whether they're probing you or they're actually interested. Because you could be.
It's just practice. Yeah, yeah. Because even if they're probing, they're interested, but they're using this kind of so-called intellectual thing where they take a negative element and then harass you about it like that, you don't give too much, because it's the wrong way to approach anyway. It's supposed to be submissive inquiry. So if they're using that kind of method, you also deal very, very, you know, shallow like that, because their approach is shallow. It may be very intellectual, but as far as personally going, it's very shallow. Because the point is if they think you know something, they would deal nicely. If they think you don't know something, why would they ask you? You know what I'm saying? So why mix the two? You know, it's just there. If you see that they're pleasant, they're nice, you know, something is thrown out and they take it nicely, then you throw out the next thing. But you only put out as much as they're taking. Just like when someone's eating, how much do you put on their plate? right? You put it on the plate as they eat. It's not that I put a little bit on, I put a teaspoon on the plate and they eat it and you like it, so therefore I put half a bucket. No. You know, then you put a little more, you put a little more. Right? That's the thing. And how much they can eat, that's how much you do. So whether you're speaking, whether you're serving prasad, it's the same principle. They're saying the Vedic system is consistent all throughout, right? Medicine, you give it as they're able to assimilate it, right? There may be so many things that there's required, but what needs to be dealt with right now, they can assimilate now, that's what you give. You know what I'm saying? The disease may be something else, but you have to deal with some other symptoms first before you can actually even get to it. Does that make sense? So it's consistent. The Vedic system is consistent. So this is that principle being applied to how you deal with an atheist. But how you deal with someone innocent is also according to how they reciprocate. How you deal with friendship is how they reciprocate. Right? And how you deal with the Lord is how you reciprocate. It's how you deal is how the Lord will respond. But it's the same principle. Just it gets reversed. Indifference from the preacher checks feelings of hostility on both sides. Right? It means you won't get upset, they won't get upset. Although there is a Vedic injunction that one should cut out the tongue of a person who offends the Supreme Lord and his devotees, in this age it is best simply to avoid potential offenders and thus prevent them from committing further sinful activities against the Vaishnavas. Right? So in other words, you avoid them saying something that you would have to cut out the tongue. So like that, you just avoid the situation.
Could be a lot of tongues going out.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, so you just don't bring anything up. It is a duty of a Vaishnava preacher to point out the futility of any process besides surrendering to the Supreme Lord. An envious person, however, will resent such strong preaching by a Vaishnava and disrespect him, considering the devotee to be unnecessarily criticizing others. Right? Even though he's criticizing. But he feels he's rightful to criticize because he feels you're criticizing. All you're doing is pointing out the fact. You know, it's just like, let's say, I say it's a chair. It's a chair, and I'm saying it's a chair. But the other person thinks that it's actually, a 100-foot yacht, that he can take on the Caribbean, right? So he has all his plans, how he's going to take this yacht and go out sailing and stuff like this. So then the problem is if you very strongly make the point, then he feels you're criticizing because, he has all these plans, all his friends are going to go, everyone's going to be happy while you're making all this, disruption. So even though it's a fact, if the person's going to be too disturbed by it, it's just not brought up. So that's why then you can talk about a regular politics. Regular just ordinary news, regular just stuff, because that then everybody has their opinion, they go on talking like this and just, try to keep it from turning into a riot, like that. So here, they'll resent. So when you speak strongly, boldly, then people get upset. So that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You're simply doing what you're supposed to be doing, establishing the Supreme Lord, because it's not us that's saying. It's just that's the fact. But some people will think that boldness is uncultured. But boldness, will take, if you're humble, you're not bold. No, if you're humble means you don't do anything on your behalf. But it doesn't mean that humility is not expressed through boldness. Right? We put together our own idea of how humility should look. Humility is there that, if everybody pushes you out of the way and uses you as a doormat and you just lay there, then that's humble. Right? Okay. It's one way of doing it, but the point is. Such a person who cannot appreciate the mercy of Vaishnava should be neglected. Otherwise, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his cheating mentality will increase day by day. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has strongly rejected those foolish persons who, under a plea of mercy and equal vision, perceive that a faithless person is also a devotee of the Supreme Lord, and who thus try to thrust the Hari Nam or holy name upon such offensive people. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has stated, when childish people think themselves Mahabhagavatas and act in defiance of the Vaishnava spiritual master, such behavior simply holds them back from receiving the mercy of the Vaishnava guru. Bewildered by false ego, these self-proclaimed devotees gradually become fit to be ignored by pure devotees on the intermediate platform and are cheated of the mercy that comes from the devotee's satisfaction. Thus, they become asadhu by constantly committing offenses against the devotees who preach the holy name of Krishna. Pure devotees, therefore, in all circumstances, display indifference to those who falsely imagine themselves to be Vishuddha Bhaktas, or pure devotees of the Lord. This indifference is an excellent manifestation of their mercy. Right? So that's just how you do it, because mercy means dealing what's appropriate for the person in the situation. So this is the appropriate one. Because we can say all we like, no, do this, do that. It doesn't matter. It's what actually works. You know, so this is coming from the Lord. It's being preached by and given by the Acharyas. Right? So then, you know, it's very clear. In other words, those who criticize the Vaishnava preachers on the second-class platform for discriminating between those who are fit to receive the Lord's mercy and those who are simply envious are misunderstanding the mission of the Lord. Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I invent myself millennium after millennium. He didn't say to deliver the pious and also to deliver the miscreants. No, it's to annihilate them. So that's what the Lord's doing. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is if we're saying, no, but that's not nice or that's not fair, the point is it's God's creation. Everything is God. Right? Everything functions on His law, so to not recognize that, who's not dealing properly? Right? And so you have to deal differently with a criminal than you deal with a person who's following the law. The facility is different. So here, we're not the one, Maya will take care of them, so we're just indifferent. Yes.
So this is Arjuna's problem in the beginning of Gita?
Yeah, showing compassion to those who, you know, shouldn't be shown to. Yeah, you know, like that. It's sentimental. So we can get into these kind of things. But the point is, sentiment's good as long as it's backed by, you know, the philosophy and the culture. But if it's not, then it's misapplied. Right? So sentiment's always good, but it has to be applied in the right place. You know, just like food's always good, but it's someone who's hungry you give it to, not someone who's not hungry. You know? It's not that the food's bad because he's not hungry. Even such a great Vaishnava as Sukadeva Goswami, one of the 12 Mahajanas in this universe, expressed his contempt for the evil Kamsa. Okay, next one, 15. Top of 37. At this juncture, Sri Nityananda Das Babaji of Baragachi village interjected, how do the Uttamadikari Shuddha Bhaktas conduct themselves? Sri Haridas Babaji replies, dear son, you have asked a question that I am just in the process of answering, right? Because he's dealt with the neophyte, he's dealt with the Madhyama, now naturally come to the Uttama. Let me finish what I have to say. I am an old man and my memory is fading. If the subject matter changes too abruptly, I will forget what I was going to say.
That's how you do.
Yeah, so that's a very nice way. Of course, if you're, you know, 12 years old, that may be a hard one to pull off. You can say, well, I'm immature, I'll forget. You know, something like that. Sri Haridas Babaji was a strict and straightforward devotee. True, he had never looked for fault in others, but he would insistently point out something that was out of place. Everyone fell silent upon his admonition. Again, he offered pranam to Nityananda Prabhu and resumed speaking. Right, so again, because he started again, so then by the Lord's mercy, then he can speak nicely and, you know, deal nicely and everything. Again, he offered pranam to Nityananda Prabhu and resumed speaking. As the bhakti of the Madhyama Adhikari ascends to the level of prema, he gradually becomes an Uttamadhikari. The characteristics of an Uttamadhikari are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45. So in other words, the one before, how do you Uttamadhikari conduct themselves? The point is, it's as if he's not going to explain about it. If he's finished, okay, this is what I have to say. Do you have any questions? Okay, then how does it... But he's right in the middle of a discussion. So then you don't interject at that point. Right? Because it may throw something off, you know. It'll take it off its track. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. 11.245. Sri Javier said, the Uttamadhikari devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. It says sees everything, not everyone. So everything means everything and everyone. It means all things, all persons, all situations, all endeavors, all results. Everything is he sees in connection with the Lord. Because it's all situated in the Lord. The Lord is in it and it's situated in the Lord. Right? It's governed by the Lord. It's meant to be engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So everything is connected. They don't see anything else. Does that make sense? He sees everything in terms of prema, and thus prema is the constant emotion that adorns the character of an Uttama Vaishnava. At times, various differing bhavas manifest in his personality, but they are all transformations of prema. Upon this platform of devotion, the four distinctions in attitude, prema, maitri, kripa, and upeksha, that are the hallmarks of the Madhyama Vaishnava, cease, and the Bhagavatama exudes only Krishna prema. All right? In other words, the neophyte doesn't have these four. He doesn't. This is not the way you always. It means he may follow them here and there, but it's not just how you define him. You know what I'm saying? The Madhyama is defined by this, but the Uttama again is not defined by this because it's prema. In other words, the neophyte, the tendency is defined by material attraction. The Uttama is defined by the spiritual attraction, or prema. It's the Madhyama that's the in between. Right, so that's why it becomes hard to define that one, or hard to understand, because it's in between. Right, the two ends we understand very nicely. Right, you know, basically there's the Supreme Lord, there's the pure devotees, meaning on that Uttama platform, and then there's the schnooks. Right, basically it's easy. That's how you view the world. Right, does that make sense? No. Yeah, so the point is we're trying to define the Madhyama, because then the Madhyama then brings out the character of how we actually behave and interact in this world. He does not discriminate among a neophyte, an intermediate, or an advanced Vaishnava, or even between a Vaishnava and a non-Vaishnava. This elevated position is very rarely attained. Right? So that kind of, he may not worry about it. But the point is because he's on that platform, he'll be able to perfectly deal on that platform that he can get through, because he'll deal just purely on the platform of the soul. Right? Like Prahlad Maharaj, and all the sons of the demons, right? It means you're not born as the son of a demon generally because, you know, you're the greatest, most pious, wonderful, nicest devotee. Right? That's not generally why you're there. Maybe someone is by some offense or like mistake, but the point is in general. So he's preaching to all of them, right? But he's able to just deal on that platform of the soul, and then they respond that way, right? And it works. Haridas Thakur would do the same thing. But then sometimes, you know, like, was it Gopal Chopla? It didn't exactly work. But he wasn't speaking directly to him. He was speaking to the assembly. So everybody appreciated it except for this one person. Okay. Footnote. All right, so that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point is, don't you try to do that. That's for the Uttamadhikari. So if you're saying, no, but we should show that compassion to everyone, then it means you're trying to take the level of the Uttamadhikari, that you don't see the difference. Because the point is if you don't see the difference, why did you see this as a difference? You know what I'm saying? Why did you see, oh, you're discriminating? But that's a discrimination. Because if it's all the same, then whether you discriminate or not discriminate, it's all the same. You understand? So that's the thing. It's covered. It looks like it's the other. But it's just duality. They're taking your one and then taking the opposite of that and then trying to make. But they're discussing the same thing, discrimination. It's just my discrimination is better than your discrimination. Because I'll only preach to those who don't deserve it. You know, I won't preach to those who do deserve it. Right? Well, you're saying you'll preach to those who do deserve it, you avoid those who don't. So, you understand? Okay, footnote 15. In the commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam 11.245, it is stated, a pure devotee is completely free from the tendency to enjoy things separately from the Lord's service, right? Because he sees everything in connection to the Lord. So why would anything be not for rendering service? He does not see anything in the universe as unfavorable because he sees everything as the expanded potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee's purpose in existing is to give pleasure somehow or other to the Supreme Lord. Thus, everything that a pure devotee experiences moment by moment increases his ecstatic loving desire to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord. So everything being connected to the Lord, it's all the expanded potency of the Lord. He can see something of service or value in everything. Right? But he's seeing it in connection to the Lord. He's not seeing it that I like this. So it's coming from the Lord, but it's for me. You know, so then that's nice. It's pious that you're acknowledging that your material desires and that are being fulfilled by the Lord. Okay, that's pious. But it's not what it's talking about. It means in every situation you'll see something that's useful. Right? Because for anything to function, there must be a superior quality at work. Right? For the mechanics of it to work. Right? The motive of it, the intent of it may be totally wrong. Right? Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, you have a word. Right? When we were discussing about the potency of words. So the word, it has its inherent meaning. The word carries that potency. But then along with that, when someone speaks, there's the intent that they mean by that word. So generally, if it's done nicely, the meaning of the word and the intent go together. It's obvious. But sometimes they're not so expert or they use the wrong word or, you know, they're not as careful or not as much knowledge. So sometimes the word and the intent are different. You know, or sometimes it's on purpose. They say something very pleasant, but with a very negative, you know, like critical edge to it. They mean to criticize, but they're just saying it, you know, like you're coming in and, you know, it's inappropriate for the situation they think. And, oh, aren't we so happy today? You know, you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be sober and everything like that. And, does that make sense?
Shantipur?
Huh? Yes, like that, yeah. So the idea is that, therefore, for anything to function, right, the actual mechanics on the Brahman platform, it's functioning on the superior qualities. So that's the Lord and the forms that connect with that quality. Right? So that's the external, the Lord and the internal potency. Right? That's every situation. That's actually what the niti is defining. But the problem is people who are using niti only, they're only using it for material. Therefore, it's a short-term thing. But Vaishnavas are using niti because they see the mechanics of everything are connected to the Lord. So therefore niti also applies because that's how it works. Right? Means like that. He just drank the water. Okay, so now the point is the mechanics of that, whether he's drinking because, you know, this is, you know, it's offered to Krishna and Krishna is the taste of the water, or he's just thirsty and he really wants a drink. It does, you know, whatever it is. The point is the mechanics is there's laws that means the water has to go in a certain place. He can't pour it over the top of his head, at least not in this weather, at least not unless he's from the South Pole, right? You know, it's so hot, you know, like that. You know, where's the snow? You know, so if it's not like that, then there's laws. So the point is then you get it into your mouth. Why do you want it in your mouth? Because if you get it in your mouth, one, it works. So then you're following the process of the Lord. So therefore you're doing the dutiful thing. You're following the laws of the Lord. That's higher quality. Or maintaining cleanliness, right? Because if you pour it in your mouth, it stays there. If you don't, it goes all over the place. And then it makes things unclean. Right? So in other words, it's superior qualities that make anything function. I mean anything. You know what I'm saying? So it has to follow the Lord's thing. But the point is the intent may be wrong. So the point is the devotee will see something there. You know, that the intent and the thing are nice. If not, if the world itself functions under God's laws. It's Him. It's His potencies. Just because people are misusing it doesn't mean that it's not good, not useful. So he'll see everything in connection to the Lord. Does this make sense? How it works? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense? That makes sense, okay. It's just, you only saw the bottom move, not the top also. So just like this. Catch the, yeah, it was the yes. Okay, yes.
Maharaj, even though the devotee sees everything in connection to the Lord, when an item comes across and one knows that he's actually not capable of dealing with it right now, it's not necessarily mean that he's going to reject it, but he's just going to put it aside.
Yeah, you just put it aside.
If it's not favorable at this moment,
yeah,
then it's just better to focus on what you are capable of.
Yes, 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 like that. So, yeah. So, in other words, your contemplation, the manana, you know how much you can contemplate at this time. So in other words, by contemplating something, it's going to create a distraction or create unfavorable feelings, emotions, or something. Then that's just avoided at this time. But everything else you deal with, right? In other words, you deal with it right up to that point. But you know where to stop. You know, so then we can move it in one. And then slowly, slowly, slowly.
Down through the bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. Thus, everything that a pure devotee experiences moment by moment increases his ecstatic loving desire to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord. Typically, the Kanishtha Adhikari is eager to engage his materialistic qualifications in the service of the Lord, mistaking such material expertise to be the sign of advanced devotion, right? Because so he can do something very well. You know, he's good in economics or management or cooking, whatever it is. And he thinks that by engaging that, then I'm advanced because I know more of this than anybody else. Let's say, you know, the devotees are all, they're all simple bunch, but I know how to manage. So then naturally, because I can organize things, that makes me the most advanced of everybody here. That's how the neophyte will think, because he thinks it's his materialistic qualifications that are actually the qualifications. But by continuing to serve the Supreme Lord and the devotees engaged in propagating the Lord's mission, the Kanishtha Adhikari also advances in his realization and comes to the stage of dedicating his activities to helping more advanced Vaishnavas. Right, so even he has this mentality, that's what's so nice about devotional service. Even though it's not the ideal thing, it still works because you've engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So even though you're thinking, I'm advanced, I'm this and that, you're still getting purified by doing it. You're associating with devotees, you're rendering service. That's why it says avoid offenses, because if you make offenses, then you don't get the benefit. Right? But you avoid offenses, then you get purified, and then eventually you come to the point where now I want to use these things to please the Vaishnavas, rather than I'm doing these things as it needs to be done, right? This is not managed nice, or this is not good, this is not done well, or something, whatever my area of expertise. So I do that, and now everything's right in the world, right? I fix the plumbing in the temple, now that everything's right, now the temple can function properly, right? You know, yeah.
Isn't this kind of a gray area? Because if you think that you're more advanced than others, isn't that kind of a subtle...
Hey, it is. It's not ideal, but that's the neophyte. That's generally how they think. You know, that's why it's... But what is there? What is the point of the thinking they're advanced? That's the essential point. It's because of their material qualifications. Right? So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I have that, or I see better, I'm more balanced, or something they see. you know.
Can it also be sometimes this sudden enthusiasm from the, and that you kind of think of yourself as advanced just based on enthusiasm?
Can. Yeah. Because just enthusiasm means, in other words, if you're enthusiastic, you don't notice you're enthusiastic.
Mm.
If you're noticing you're enthusiastic, then that means that's the first stage of taking up any endeavor.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? It means, because in the beginning, you're always enthusiastic.
Exactly.
You know? But as but the person who is actually, you know, mature in it and is therefore naturally, spontaneously involved, then there, to them it's not enthusiastic. It's just inspiring. And doing the thing is inspiring.
Mm.
Rather than, I'm enthusiastic, that's why it's happening. No, the thing itself, I'm inspired. You know, it kind of reverses.
Mm.
Even such Kanishta Adhikaris can help ordinary living entities by their association, since at least the Kanishta Adhikaris have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this faith, the Kanishta Adhikari gradually becomes inimical to those who are opposed to the Lord. Right?
Hmm.
So he can, ordinary persons, he can help because he has faith. Because you find, you know, so much of the preaching that's going on is not necessarily by your biggest preachers. Right? So many people, they get books, they get talked to, they introduce the Krishna consciousness, they come to the temple, they talk to a devotee. They're talking to someone who's not necessarily, you'd say, is your, you know, premier preacher. Right? So that's the point, because they have faith. That's the main point. So, but in dealing in the preaching field, you still apply those four principles, right? Of worship of the Lord, friendship with the devotees, kindness to the innocent, and avoiding those who are, you know, envious. As it gradually becomes more and more inimical to those who hate the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, and becomes more attracted to friendship with other faithful servants of the Lord, the Kanishta Adhikari approaches the second class stage called Madhyama. Because he starts to discriminate. Before, it's just, you know, you're there, you're a pleasant person, you meet the devotees, you know, you're there, you're interacting, you deal with everybody nice, because that's what you're doing before. But after a while, you start to discriminate between those who to be nice to and those not to be nice to. Right? So then he comes to the Madhyama platform. And so he spends his friendship is with the advanced devotees, not with just anybody. He may be kind to just, you know, whoever deserves, but his friendship is reserved for the Vaishnavas. In the Madhyama stage, the Vaishnava sees the Lord as the cause of all causes and the chief goal of everyone's loving propensity. Because right? Everybody is loving something. Right? And so that principle is Krishna. Right? What they're loving is actually Krishna. Right? But they think it's something else. It's not about Ronald, is it? It's not about Ronald, is it?
No.
Because he's loving it.
Oh, Ron McDonald. I thought of Ron Raven for some reason.
Is he loving it?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. I'm not sure, he's not dead.
Yeah, that's
but he may be loving it.
Regarding friendship with the devotees.
Yes.
It's also said that they should be with like-minded devotees.
Yes, like-minded.
So it's a next step. Like Kanishta, when he advances a little bit, then he keeps friendship with the devotees.
Yes.
And then he finds in all the devotees those who are like-minded. So he serves everybody, but he keeps company with those who are.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That's normal. That's normal. Because I mean, where do the Braj Basus hang out? In Braj. They don't hang out in Mathura. They don't hang out in Dwarka. It's not that they can't visit in that, but where are they comfortable? Where's like-minded? Like the Dwarka Vasis and the Braj Vasis, they come together at Kurukshetra. And they have, you know, they spend time. They're all devotees. They're all worshipping Krishna. Right? And so they don't have any problem interacting and all that, but that intimacy is amongst like-minded. Yeah. He sees the Vaishnavas as his only friends within this morbid world, and is eager to bring innocent people within the shelter of Vaishnava society. Right? So because it's so nice, he finds a taste, that's what he wants to bring others into that. Right? It's not because I'm doing it, then the whole world should do it. Okay, but in the beginning, it's useful. It's engaged in Krishna service. Because I'm a devotee, everyone should be a devotee, right? You know? Because whatever I'm doing is the best, so if you're not doing it, you must be an idiot. So that way, you know, so therefore, I should be kind to you, right? So it can start like that, but eventually it's because of the taste of the friendship with devotees, you want others to be able to taste such, so therefore then you're kind upon them. You try to make that available. Also, a Madhyama Adhikari strictly avoids associating with the self-proclaimed enemies of God. When such an intermediate qualification becomes mature, the concept of supreme qualification begins to present itself. That is, one comes to the stage of Uttamadhikara. So when the Madhyama matures, it comes to Uttama. Just like when the neophyte matures, it comes to the Madhyama. So it's just naturally, as it matures, it comes to the beginning stage of the next one. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out in his commentary, quote, in this verse, the word pashyet, or one must see, does not mean that at every moment one is visualizing the form of Krishna. Rather, it means that one has reached the exalted platform of devotional service on which he is fit to see or is capable of seeing Krishna's form. Right. Okay, so he says he's capable to see that. So he's able to, not that every moment he sees in everything like this. He sees, because the point is how do you serve? Okay, now that you're seeing Krishna, what would you do? Like, seeing Krishna means you'd render service. So then the point more important than seeing Krishna in every act is what would be the service? You understand? What would be the service to be rendered? Right? So therefore he's qualified to see that, the form of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But that technique of seeing it all as Krishna is very useful when the alternative is seeing it as an opportunity for sense gratification. So it's an opportunity for sense gratification, and then you think, no, but it's all Krishna, and that, so therefore what's to be used for Krishna? So that mechanical process then, you know, neutralizes these states of insanity. If only those who constantly see the form of Krishna are to be considered Uttamadhikaris, then Narada, Vyasa, and Sukadeva cannot be considered topmost devotees, since they do not always see the Lord everywhere. Of course, Narada, Vyasa, and Sukadeva are considered to be on the highest standard of pure devotional service, and therefore the real qualification is tad didrikshad Dikya, or having an overwhelming desire to see the Lord. Therefore, the statement of Bhagavad Gita is that a devotee should see Krishna everywhere. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra can be understood in terms of the example of a lusty man thinking that the world is full of beautiful women. Right? So in other words, it's opportunities. Right? In other words, a lusty man thinks that every opportunity, then this is where he could, you know, meet women or be with women. He walks down the street, there's a nice little cafe. Oh, that's what I could do there. He sees something like this, some nice flowers. Oh, I could get that. Or walks by a shop, there's jewelry. Oh, I could get this. Or, you know, in other words, he sees everything in connection with the opportunity to associate with beautiful women. Does that make sense? But now also the difference here, seeing everywhere, there is the aspect of Brahman and Paramatma, which is there, but the point is he's qualified to see Krishna as Bhagavan. So that means he'll see Krishna as Bhagavan when Krishna manifests that form. So that's why there's the feeling of separation. But when it comes to Brahman and Paramatma, that he can see everywhere. But the point is, if you're seeing Bhagavan, then it's the opportunities for serving Bhagavan. Does that make sense? Similarly, one should become transcendentally so desirous of seeing the Lord that one can perceive within the entire universe nothing but Krishna and his potency. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Bhagavad Gita 7:19. So it's all one seeing is the opportunity, right? That at any moment one could see and serve Krishna in that way. In Srila Prabhupada's correspondence in 1969 with Professor J.F. Stahl of the University of California, the other guy was a politician, Srila Prabhupada claimed that all his disciples who were strictly following the intense program of Krishna consciousness were in fact Sudurlabha Mahatmas, who are seeing Vasudeva Sarvam. In other words, if one is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness with intense desire to please the Lord, and one day gain his association, it is to be understood that in one's life there is nothing but Krishna. So that means you're seeing Krishna everywhere. Right? Because all you're trying to do is please Krishna, attain Krishna. And so, therefore, whatever you're seeing in relationship to that process, or to that goal. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has warned us, however, that a mere theoretical academic understanding that Krishna is everything does not qualify one as a first-class devotee. Right? In other words, we can understand the philosophy of it. Mm. So just because you understand that principle doesn't make one first-class devotee, right? An uttama adhikari. Right? It means you have the knowledge. But uttama adhikari is an attitude, because the prominent thing is the element of prema. Right? From the Madhyama, prema is one of the four. Uttama, that's the primary. For the neophyte, he thinks his own material qualifications and facilities or interests are the primary drive. Does that make sense?
What kind of prema is there? Madhyama has a prema.
Madhyama has a prema. It's not that one. It's this one, not that one. Means it's the same one, it's just not as much as that one. When you have more of that one, then it's that one. When you have less of that one, it's this one. Does that make sense? Okay. One must actually have developed love for Krishna, right? Because you know. But you have to actually have developed that, right? So in other words, that's the budding stage. You want to develop that love for Krishna, right? You want to, things are favorable for Krishna, do things nice for Krishna. So what is that? That's prema. But it's only manifest at those moments. You know what I'm saying? And then the rest of the time it might not be there. So the rest of the time then is friendship with the devotees, compassion to the innocent, and indifference to the envious. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But for the uttamadhikari, then prema is the primary drive the whole time. So he'll function on that. So the other ones are automatically, resolved. Because Krishna, connected to Krishna, so everybody he's nice to. Everybody he deals properly with. Therefore, it can be practically understood that anyone who enthusiastically adopts the Krishna Consciousness Program and eagerly participates in the preaching activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is acting on the platform of a Madhyamadhikari devotee. When such a devotee becomes overwhelmed by the desire to serve Krishna and associate with the Lord, so much so that he is not attracted to anything else within the universe, he should be understood to be an uttamadhikari Vaishnava, as mentioned in this verse. Because the one is, you see the opportunities, the other is, you're only attracted to Krishna, therefore here nothing is of interest. The only thing of interest is that it can be used for Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's like what Krishna is talking about in the beginning of the Gita, and then what he's talking about at the end of the Gita. Same knowledge, it's just reversed. Right? It means you're starting with your situation, seeing that in relationship to Krishna, the goal being for Krishna, the results being for Krishna, and then you reverse it, that it's all about Krishna. So therefore, whatever situation I'm in, it's for Krishna. Right? So that's what happens. So the first one is the intellectual one, but that doesn't mean you're an uttama. It's when you come to the second one, that's when we talk. That's good. That's the idea. That's what we're trying to get. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Just consider now that a Kanista Vaishnava does not render service to Vaishnavas. And an Uttama Vaishnava does not make any distinction between Vaishnavas and non-Vaishnavas. For he sees all jivas as servants of Krishna. This means that only Madhyama Vaishnavas render or offer respect to Vaishnavas and render service to them. A Madhyama Vaishnava must serve the three kinds of Vaishnavas: those who chant Krishna Nam even once, those who chant Krishna Nam constantly, and those whose mere sight automatically causes Krishna Nam to dance on one's tongue. Right, so that's the difference. That's the three levels of... That's Kanishtha, Madhya, Uttama. Now it's taking the name as how you define it. Yeah.
So means Kanishtha, when he serves the
devotees,
he comes to the
Madhya. Basically, because then he's functioning on that. Or it can mean that he doesn't actually serve them. There's some other reason that he's doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's just saying, so that has that element of the Madhyama platform, because it's not prominent, it's not stable. Therefore, then he'll drop back into that neophyte platform. So that's the point, is that the Madhyama platform is the standard platform of Vaishnav society. You know what I'm saying? So say you invite someone to your house, you know, because you want to render service, and you're rendering that service and doing nice and all the things according to here. Then that's the Madhyama platform. But now it's that you've heard other people who have invited people over to their house, and you want to do it also, so you're doing it, so maybe a social thing. So it's not exactly service. Does that make sense? So, or it may be mixed. So it's just, and all these things, in other words, the Uttamadhikari, that's considered actually the best platform of pure devotion. The Madhyama is the preliminary platform of pure devotion. Right? And the neophyte is the preliminary to pure devotion. You know? Is that kind of... Okay. Okay, footnote 16. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita stated, Satyaraj Khan said, "My dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of the Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas." Upon hearing this, Satyaraj said, "How can I recognize a Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being." Right? So he's worshipable as the topmost human being. Now within topmost human beings, then you have the three levels. Right? But that means all devotees are worthy of respect. Right? Does that make sense? So then when the Madhyama is dealing with devotees, he's dealing with all the devotees. Right? Yes.
In this regard, Maharaj, when Lord Chaitanya said, "Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once, with without offenses," or
no, he said just once.
So whoever it is, even an offender.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. An offenser and one who associates an offensizer. You know, or he's actually offensicator. Right? It means all of these. Means the point is if the holy name's been chanted, they're not ordinary. Right? They're special. So that means they're the top, worshipable as the topmost human being. Now within that, then there are those who you then are close and render service according to their sincerity and according to their, you know, their that faith and their knowledge. So then it's more. So someone who has more, there's more. So someone who's less is less. But in any case, they're classified in that way. Mm-hmm. So it's not, because generally the neophyte tends to, you know, if you're an Uttamadhikari, then you're worshipable and everybody else is a schmutz. Right? So not exactly. But here it's the point is everybody's worshipable. But within worshipable, there's more worshipable than most worshipable. Like that. So then it works nice. Right? So even sometimes you see newer neophyte devotees, they may be, you know, overdoing that. You know? But still, it's good because they have that respect and that for Vaishnavas. So they'll advance nicely because of that. Right? And the ones that are going, oh, that's just sentimental and like that. Maybe that's, you know, a good comment. Maybe it's not. You know. This is a... Yes.
Worshipping means giving respect, not like that.
Not, but yeah, it means another. Well, you can always walk around like a you know, a special bag or a box that has an Arctic tray, a little bit of water, you know, just like a lot of camphor, you know. I mean, I would recommend the South Indian system that you just have the camphor, because then you can pull it out, just do it, just a few drops of water, you put the next one. You know, you don't have to, you know, what do I do with a wick, you know, stuff like that, you know, so that way you can go around. Yes. So no, it means worship means that you respect, you know, appropriate to the situation and the person. So that's it. Yeah. So in other words, it's saying if someone hasn't chanted the holy name, then technically they're not on the top. They're not topmost platform of human existence. Like that. They maybe have taken up varnashram, they may be following these things, but they're not topmost until they chant. Like that. In the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulinagram submitted a petition to the Lord, saying, "My Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how I should execute it." The Lord replied, "You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet." The inhabitant of Kulinagram said, "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. "The person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet." The following year, the inhabitants of Kulinagram again asked the Lord the same question. Hearing this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again taught them about the different types of Vaishnavas. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "A first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna." Right? So in the first one, it was just who chants once. The second one is who's always chanting. The third one is who, by seeing him, you chant. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the three levels. So that's another way of defining Kanista Madhya Manutam. Right? A Vaishnava may be considered a Vaishnava, a superior Vaishnava, or a superlative Vaishnava, according to his degree of advancement. Right? So a neophyte is counted as Vaishnava. Right? Then there's superior, or advanced Vaishnava. Then superlative, you know, topmost. Like that. According to his degree of advancement. A Madhyama Bhakta should serve Vaishnavas according to their status. Right? So accordingly, then one gives the facility in that. Only an Uttam Vaishnava will conclude that it is improper to consider whether a Vaishnava is Kanistam Madhyam or Uttam. If a Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnava thinks in this way, he will become an offender. Right? Because that's how he's functioning in there, is because of his ability to discriminate. He stops the discrimination, then he won't have the proper association, he won't be applying himself properly, he won't be getting the most effectiveness for preaching, so it will be offensive. It won't be, yes.
So this is actually what determines if he is on his way up or down.
But down means?
Down means, I mean,
means because, like, the Uttamadhikari, he doesn't see the difference, but he's not on his way down.
No, because he has that realization.
Oh, you mean within Madhyama?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if the Madhyama is properly discriminating, then he'll advance. Yeah. If he's not, then he won't. I mean, it just means to that degree he's properly discriminating according to what is his criteria, his duties, then he will get benefit. Because the point is even in here, it's the same principle of performing your duties to please Krishna. Right? So these are the duties of a Madhyamadhikari. Because this is ashram. Right? So you have the duties as a devotee. So Kanista Madhyama Uttam. You have duties as, you know, the ashram one's in. And you have the duties as the varna. So you balance all that. But of that, the duties as devotee is the most important. Right? Does that make sense? The duties of varna are there just to support ashram. Right? So though there'll be occasions where the varna, by circumstance, may take prominence. It never is the prominence in actually the individual's life. Right? Does that make sense? You make money so that you can have a life. So the life is more important. But sometimes you wouldn't do something and, let's say, sit around with friends, but there's something you have to do with the business or something you have to do with the occupation. So it takes precedence. But only because of the nature of it. But not in importance. It's not the primary. Right? So we see in all of this, it's the consciousness is the main. And the way of expressing it is the secondary. Right? Does that make sense? So that prema for the Lord was the primary. The discrimination then is that secondary. Right? Does that make sense? Or the expression of devotion to the Lord, and then the medium through which, or the particular activity you're doing, is secondary in support of that. Right? So there's always the primary and secondary. Right? Or the devotional life is the primary, and the nimittic aspects of one's life are the secondary. Right? Or within the nimittic, the lifestyle is primary and the occupation is secondary. Right? And within the occupation, the point that you're making profit, making money, generating facilities is primary, and the method you use to get it is secondary. Right? Does that make sense? So there's always that primary and secondary. You have an activity. The knowledge of it is more important than the ritual. Everything goes together, but it's, you understand? So we see the same principle applies from the top all the way down. It's just that when you take the one, then you just, it's split again, then it's split again. It's just, Srimad Mahaprabhu indicated this to the residents of Kulinagram. And his instructions are to be revered even more than the Vedas by all Madhyama Vaishnavas. And what are the Vedas, or Shruti? They are the orders of Parameshwara. Okay. So we'll stop here. This is where Haridas Babaji became silent for a moment. So we'll become silent until this evening. Right. So this class will continue in the evening at 4. Right, because the manu is done, so we'll go through this. Right, means that the 10:31 that will remain the same, as it's been recommended that only before lunch is there some possible that the synapses work well, and after lunch they work less well. So the natural friendly storyline of this, even though it's giving all the philosophy, will be much easier to deal with than the purely academic approach to the six systems. It'll take some time. Somehow or another, our computer crashed and no one can find the hard drive. So we have to redo all the work. Thanks. What to do? So, Jiva Dharma. So, this one, Arthashastra lost.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanam. Hare Hare.
His holiness Bhaktivedanta Purnamasaraja ki. Jaya.